This is the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, where we have conversations with everyday martial artists about their histories and how martial arts influence their daily lives. You are listening to the abbreviated version of this podcast, which is the first 20 minutes or so of the show. Please consider supporting the show by subscribing on our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/MALMAG. And for about the price of one coffee shop coffee per month, you can get access to 4 new podcasts each month, 1 week before their YouTube release dates. You also have access to all of our existing shows, which at this point is about 100 hours of shows for you to enjoy. Individual shows can be purchased at our Gumroad page. That is malmag.gumroad.com. This week I get on Zoom and I connect to Las Vegas, Nevada with John Gentile. John is a career police officer, and you may have seen him in one of our earlier special edition podcasts about the documentary film Wristlock. John is going to talk to you about his history in martial arts and how it applied to his career in law enforcement, how he got involved in the making of the documentary film, and much more. Sit back and enjoy. Welcome to the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast. And this week I'm hooking up to Sin City, I guess, Las Vegas, or we say the gentrified city. I don't know. It's I know it's changed a lot since the first time I saw it back in the late 80s. And this individual has been a friend of mine for a long time. And I just always have a good time having conversation, or should I say sitting around and bullshitting, as you just said to me a few minutes ago. This is John Gentile, everyone. Welcome to the show, John. Again, some of you may remember him from the special edition on the documentary film Wristlock.
Tim, thanks a lot. And yes, this is the Sin City area. And
So are you originally from there, or is that where you just ended up professionally?
No, I grew up in Waterbury, Connecticut, which is...
Well, that explains your connection to some of the Hartzell folks there, potentially. John, you still there? Uh-oh. Are we having a connection issue? John? Uh-oh. All right. Well, hopefully this will reconnect on. Looks like my signal is good. This might be on John's side. Oh, there you are. You're back.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I lost you for a second. How are we doing now?
That sounds pretty good. So right. You cut out right after Connecticut.
Okay, well, Waterbury, Connecticut. So there you go. And, grew up there and went to college up on the East Coast. So,
gotcha. So what took you to Las Vegas then?
Well, it's funny you said that. You got a picture of me in uniform. I came out here on vacation and, like, I don't want to give the date away because I'd be giving my age. But, and we were up there, right? But I came out here for vacation, and I had graduated. I couldn't get a job like most people. And, everything was on hold back in the day. And I ended up looking around, and I go, this place is crazy. I mean, if I'm going to work in law enforcement, Vegas, there's going to be no cat and tree calls out here. And the 24-hour city, I thought, I was like, this is kind of cool. So, I ended up doing something crazy. We all do at one point in our life. I ended up signing up, taking the test. And out of all the places I applied for, the one I least likely thought I was going to get, I got.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I ended up out here. My family wasn't too happy, but, sometimes you make changes for the betterment, right? So I was young and, wanted to have the adventure of Las Vegas at the time, and it really was.
Wow. So was law enforcement always an interest of yours then?
Well, I was a public law major, so I was studying law. I could have had a change in direction, but lawyers, law school and things like that weren't going to be my thing. I figured that out later. But I always had an interest in, I liked police shows. I liked investigating. I liked all those things. So, I kind of gravitated as a young kid towards that direction, good versus evil. And
Right, right.
that's it,
Interesting. So, just for I think any potential young viewers we have out there that might be actually considering that as a profession, did it, and I think a lot of people are inspired some of the same way, did the reality of it live up to your expectation?
That is a great question, Tim. That is a good one. If overall it was fantastic. It was everything I thought it would be. Of course, I always wanted to make an impact. I wanted to do the big investigations. I was interested in the mob growing up. I was just, I'm an Italian American guy, but I always
Oh, okay.
had a fascination with investigation. And you know what? It was a good time. I mean, working graveyard at 22 is a lot different than working graveyard at 40. I will tell you that.
Well,
So I did 10 years of like graveyard, So, but the streets are busy. The job itself had a lot to it. There's a lot of different units, places you could go, which for me, I like being motivated. I like doing a different job. And so having different places. I became a defensive tactics instructor along the way because of my love for training and martial arts. I mean, I started training at like 12 years old. So, training the way I was training and then coming out to Vegas, the next step, of course, would be, I started watching how they were training. And actually, some of the things they did were good, and some of the things, you're subjective, growing up and what you learn. But you got to learn the rules of engagement. And that was a big thing in policing. So that's a big thing, So you gotta learn that. You gotta not only know your tactics, you gotta try to stay smart. You gotta like know how to communicate, all those things. So young people out there trying to pursue a career, which I still do encourage, the numbers are down. It's not the most popular job these days, but get into it for the right reasons, be a good communicator. Know enough to keep yourself fit, healthy, and listen to people and know your job. Just get in there. Anything you do, you got to get in there and do it. So I always tell people, if you want something, the best part is it is not monotony. You won't be doing the same job every day. Now, some things are okay. Okay, go again.
I'm sure there was more paperwork involved than what you saw on TV, right?
Yeah, and as a sergeant, you actually turn into a daddy. As a sergeant, you're kind of like, you want to see the people succeed, you want the community protected, but as a sergeant, you got to keep them out of trouble, and you got to throw a little fire under them now and then. So you got to like a multitude of jobs, but hey, it was good. It was good. No, here I am. I'm healthy. Well, pretty much.
No, you look great. Every time I see you, man, you look even better. You look really good. You move well.
Well, I'm trying to stay motivated, and Guru Dan and you guys always do it, right? So the synergy is great,
That's for sure. I mean that, I think it's one of those topics that hits in this podcast all the time is the community aspect of it and how that is really encouraging. To at least, this larger group that we hang around with.
Yeah, the attitudes are I think with we were talking about policing, and of course, obviously, we did something on the movie. If people haven't watched that podcast, they should. But
Right.
in
And the
reality,
movie, I gotta plug the movie too, and the movie. We'll definitely talk about that again because it's really good. It was like one of those cool things when we did that, and I'm like, I've got to watch this movie. And I remember my schedule being pretty busy, and then I ended up that Frenchie that I look after every once in a while. Oh yeah, so it was like a stretch where I was watching him and I was house sitting for him, and I'm like, let me get the movie because I'm sitting here. Boom. So I grabbed it on iTunes and watched it. And it's, you know, it's really good.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not like, you know, my techniques are like the baddest techniques you're going to ever see. No, it's not really even about that. It's about motivation.
Oh, right.
It's about training. It's about getting your mind right and getting your body right, maybe having a healthy career. And if you're not in policing, maybe you understand things maybe from a different perspective.
Right.
You know? So, I, you know, that's it for that, for the film. But we're still pushing it. We're still showing it. We're going to conferences. We're busy.
That's great.
Yeah, I just pushed it out for a big conference for October. We'll see if that happens. That's in Boston. But, yeah. So, you know, any way we can impact in a positive way, I think is good. Right. So.
Cool. So I got a question for you before I forget it, because you said something very interesting about police and there's rules of engagement and knowing rules of engagement. On the civilian side, we also have rules of engagement that are called laws.
Yeah.
I think it would behoove the regular person to understand what their rules of engagement are as well, because that's probably a lot of what you're potentially dealing with. One of the things you deal with in your job is, you know, all the nonsense that happens that we see the videos on YouTube and Facebook all the time of these fights, and you just go, oh my God, what are these people? You know, and that all of it's, you know, used for, well, this guy should have done this punch and this kick. And I'm like, he shouldn't have fucking been there in the first place. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I get a lot of midnight calls and, you know, through my life because of the job I did. The funniest thing, Tim, is I'll get people, I'm not going to say it's you, but people will call me up and say, here's a scenario. It's not me. It's a friend.
Right.
And then they got to run it by me. Right. But a lot of it, just like you said, you know, the YouTube, I think, and the social media really has sparked up, you know, in the last, let's say, you know, 8 years or so, you know, how we instantly get gratification. We see things that we never saw, or at least we think it's getting worse. But a lot of these things have been around for a long time, you know. And let's face it, you know, your home is the castle. I always get the question about, you know, I'm inside my house, someone comes to it. You know, here's the basic thing. You know, we're not going to give that class today, but, you know, common sense really prevails, meaning a lot of times you and I watch YouTube. I'm sure we're seeing the same ones. People are involved with something or they go back the direction towards the attacker. You know, I mean, my first thing is try to avoid it. You know, keep your head on a swivel. Don't be looking at your phone all the time. You're crossing the street, you're going to get hit by a car. A lot of these people, they're surprised when they get robbed, you know? So if you're distracted and you're not really worried about anything, you know, I'm not saying you should go out and be paranoid, but let's be honest. How about just looking around? Having a little forethought to maybe walk around, or if you're a lady walking in your car, maybe have a key in your hand, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're going to have a weapon, how about training with the weapon? You know, that, you know, empty hand is great, you know, your last resort, right? But, you know, you should be doing something for your body and your mind and your training, you know, to be functional so that you're not caught with your pants down.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, I think a big thing is just, you know, when you do find yourself, especially, you know, guys go out, sporting events are obviously a big thing. And you know, as we just saw with the Super Bowl, the parties afterwards, you know, there was obviously an issue there that I didn't quite follow, but clearly somebody started shooting and there were plenty of people injured, if not killed. And, you know, it's just understanding. It's one of the reasons why I don't do a lot of going out to a bar to watch a sporting event, because I know tensions will rise on something stupid as a sporting event that I've got nothing to do with at all. Like, I'm not on those teams. I'm not on their payroll. I'm not making money. I'm not losing my rent, because I mean, I guess unless I'm gambling on the game, that might be something else, but still,
yeah,
I don't need to get in an altercation with a guy who's wearing the jersey of the other team or something. You know, it's just those types of things. And it's like, you see it ramp up and it's just like, wow, you know, you don't really have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, mass crowds are bad because anything can happen, right? I mean, the crowd can get riled up, and boy, things can change in a heartbeat.
Right.
And you can't control that stuff. We basically need to know where your exits are at, and get the hell out, even when we had some melees, at events, because we have events in Vegas all the time. The young guys, I would tell them, you do not run to break up a fight in the middle of a crowd. As crazy as that sounds, think about it, right? You got your carry a gun, you're going to walk in the middle of a crowd where he's got friends and the other guy's got friends.
Right.
You're probably going to get hit. And then now I got to get you out, rescue you as well as the other people. So we would try to practice not running in. It's like the old bull story, right? Everybody knows the bull story, right? The two bulls walking down the hill. But so you have that in every profession, and probably you have friends that are like that, that'll just jump in quick. And you're like, slow your roll.
Yeah.
Nothing good can come from it most of the time,
Right. And it's funny you say roll, because it almost sounds like almost a metaphoric situation, giving your back in jujitsu. Like you don't want to give back, and that's literally what you're kind of doing by running into that situation.
Exactly. You're throwing away all the principles that you learn in a heartbeat because you got excited.
Right.
That's the emotional side of a human being, right? But
exactly.
Me being like the sergeant, I would be like, no, you're not going out there. Flash your light. Let's honk the horns. Let's get the helicopter. Let's figure things out. Let's get the dog barking, but we're not running in the middle of that crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. True. And it's funny, because there was just a post from an old friend of mine, I think it was yesterday, who I've had on the show, Steve Holly, who's also a career law enforcement officer, canine cop. And he was kind of telling an old story about kind of pulling up opposite. So driver's sides are facing each other with somebody that was like in his beat area or whatever. And he said they suddenly found themselves surrounded by, some angry crowd with bats. And I'm like, Largo? I never knew Largo was so rough. Like, I lived around Largo. I'm like, wow, okay, when was this and what was going on? So, when you talk about those situational dynamics changing so quickly, that's I'm thinking, even then, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, and I think, because we're on a martial arts podcast, I have to say that, training in martial arts, if you train a long time, you're a lifer. There's several of us that are. You tend to have some better self-control. Generally, you're not going to be as emotional being hit.
Right.
You're not going to be as emotional in confrontation, typically. I mean, unless it's your wife, right?
But
you're not going to
push,
the benefit of martial arts, right? Is that, you're kind of going to, you're not going to overreact, which is fundamental in the way of the martial way, right? So, that's what you really kind of hope for with the young people, that they get more out of it.
Now, do you think, because you and I were kind of talking a little bit, I think, before we started, about some of that coming with age.
Yeah.
That we've gotten that with age. So do you think the martial art training helps you get that sooner than age, or is it guaranteed with age, or does it, what's the role that age plays in there?
Well, you're going to know, because you're going to probably say that you're going to be shaking your head. Probably yes. But, think about yourself in your 20s up to 30, right? And you think about, you and I grew up during the time when UFC came out, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're learning all these things and you see this stuff. Think about how, you're competitive. Your competitive drive is bigger. Your youth of rebounding is a lot quicker. In your face mentality is part of, I think, growing up, right? So you kind of have that all going for you. So
right.
Your spirit, your drive, your wrestling, obviously you wrestle and have much more dynamics when you're 30 or 35. But I think what happens in the martial arts is, as we grow, you find out, of course, you don't have all the limitations that some people do, but you do have some. And you learn how to work your body. And I think we become better in the mind. We become better coaches and we become better trainers. And we understand the why, rather than, just put me in there. And I think that's a real good advantage. I mean, it's unfortunate that we have to get older, but it's kind of the thing that goes with it, right? You kind of get, you kind of learn that you watch the guys doing their thing and you go, oh man, he's going to pay for that. Trust me, he's going to pay for that tomorrow. You know, because you didn't tap. If you wrestle in 30, 35, how many times you get your head in a guillotine and you go, oh, I can get out of this even though it hurts? Right? So you think about it now, maybe you're in your 50s. I'm thinking you're younger than that,
Oh, I'm mid-50s, 54.
but when you're doing it now, think about it, right? You're like, it's okay to tap. It is okay to tap. Because you're going to pay for it, so it's like you learn a lot of stuff about your body, and I think you do become a better coach. And I think life experience with, just the martial arts, I think does help. It makes us better coaches, I think, and I think it makes us better.
100%.
You could
Absolutely.
probably add to that, right? But I mean, I think that makes us better.
Oh, yeah, I think it's true. I think there's a lot of elements there. There's, the obviously hopefully getting wiser through experience, and then not only our own experience, but experience of the people that have been around you. And so you look at what's happened to other people, and then the experience of fortunately, as I'll kind of bring it back to community, the people that have come before us that we really trust. And maybe in the beginning you're like, I'm going to trust what this person says because I trust them. I don't have the experience yet to understand why. And then how many times have we said that now where you're like, oh, this is what that thing guru said to me 20 years ago meant.
Because a lot of people will never understand. They won't understand what you understand. They're not sitting in your chair, but it's
Exactly.
just like when you I'll use guru as an example. Everybody goes to guru and he's up there, but he moves great, right? But he's when you've been training with him for a long time or you've seen him through the years, it's an inspiration, and everybody has their own take on everything, but in reality, there's always something you can get from someone who's been there and done it, and the experience and the knowledge and the wisdom and the why. I think the why becomes more important. Why are we doing this as you get older? And where did this come from? Those questions, just you have them. Where when you were 30 or 35, it was how do I apply this functional technique to somebody and put them in pain or make them tap? It's a little bit more short-lived experience when you're at that age because you're trying to get so much. I think sharing is unbelievable now compared to maybe when we were younger.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And the territory type stuff I think is severed where now you can cross train a lot more than maybe when you were growing up. And we've all cross trained everybody, right? So I mean, you're kind of a fool not to, even in policing,
Right.
It's the same kind of mentality. You have to have it, striking, grappling. You should have something for weapons, So.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, well, there, especially in that profession, it's like you're always expecting a surprise, I guess. So yeah, you've got to have a lot in the tank, so to speak, to hopefully not get too badly surprised, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean you do scenarios too. So they try to mix it. So you're going to get some striking. These days it has evolved for the better. But it also depends on who runs the training academies because if you have a guy with a BJJ background, he's going to focus heavy on grappling. If you got a guy with a Thai boxing background, expect striking.
Right.
So we do have a system, so to speak, where we do cross train, but you'll see, a lot of things like that, and I think the Kali portion is probably pretty small. There's really not a lot. We try to introduce a lot of it through the years, but it's kind of like if you look at statistics, majority of the statistics are bodily, physical altercation type stuff. So you probably are over 90% on.
And this concludes the abbreviated version of the podcast. Please consider supporting the program by going to www.patreon.com/MALMAG and subscribing to the show. You can also purchase this individual episode or any individual episode at our Gumroad page. That's MALMAG.gumroad.com. Thank you for listening to this episode with John Gentile. Coming up next week, I connect again to another Southern California martial artist, this time a real badass lady, CELOT instructor Janelle Barlongo. Our MalMag online store at martialartslifestylemagazine.com has a full selection of Timmy B's brand sticks for FMA and Krabiker Bong. Timmy B's brand now selling in Japan as well. Beautiful Timmy B's brand shirts and Dos Manos shirts are available with new t-shirt designs and more products coming soon. An online course in the Dos Manos method for FMA is available under the courses tab. More courses coming soon. Check out the Places to Train tab to find schools near you and click on the events calendar page to see what seminars and events are happening all around the world. And of course, visit our main page for articles on the martial arts. Music by Jack L. Relic. Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine and the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast are trademarked and copyrighted by TNT LLC.